Monster Movie Media presents.
Hi, this is Michelle.
And this is Jane, and together we are the Disney Dream Girls.
And you are listening to the Creepy Kingdom podcast.
And welcome to episode 32 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. Coming up in this episode, Michelle Young of the Disney Dream Girls returns to Creepy Kingdom. She was actually in Disneyland on the Haunted Mansion's 45th anniversary, and she stopped by to tell all of you all about it. But before we jump into that, I just would like to mention a podcast called the Season Pass Podcast. This is a podcast that I have no affiliation with. I don't know any of the guys that do it. I just listen to it. They recently released an episode where they interviewed legendary Imagineer Tony Baxter, who of course was responsible for such iconic attractions such as Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Splash Mountain, Indiana Jones Adventure, the 1983 redesign of Disneyland's Fantasyland, and obviously many, many, many other things. I bring this up because during this interview, Tony was able to put into words feelings and emotions I've had about going on these attractions since I was a kid that I was never able to really figure out or be able to express. And it was jaw-dropping to hear it. And it really brought me back to what got me into all of this stuff from a very young age. And why it's important to me in a way that if someone had asked me before, I probably wouldn't have been able to say. So with that said, I really think you should do yourself a favor and listen to this episode again. I have no relation to this podcast at all. I just think it's important as theme park fans, as most of you are, I assume, to check this out because it's pretty incredible. You can find their podcast at seasonpasspodcast.com. And now, without any further ado, let's begin. Okay, I'm here with Michelle from the Disney Dream Girls. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, James, and thank you for letting me come back on your show.
Oh, yes, thank you for returning. You and Jane came on a few months back and get a very fun, detailed answer, I guess, or descriptions of the things that you thought were creepy in Walt Disney World.
I know, and we're very fortunate to have you coming up on our show to do a Halloween special on what you think's creepy, so really looking forward to recording that with you.
I can't wait. Ever since Disney Dream Girls started, I was like, hopefully one day I'll get to be on their show, and it's going to happen soon. Like, we're booked the date, it's coming up. It's going to happen.
It is. Just like Halloween. In fact, right in front of me is one of the really cutesy new Halloween mugs you can get in the Disney stores. So I'm getting ready for Halloween.
Yes, the season is upon us. this, I think, what is the date that this is released? It's still August, but only a few days left.
Well, come on, James. Disney started getting ready for Halloween in Disneyland near the beginning of August. So come
really?
On.
Wow. Well, that's
yeah.
Well, that's why I have you on here. Actually, you just spent a few weeks in Disneyland in Anaheim, California. And you can kind of talk about some of the creepy stuff you came upon. And you're saying that they started gearing up for Halloween the beginning of August?
Yeah, I got into California on the 5th of August, and walking around Disneyland for the sort of like the 5th and 6th, there wasn't really anything Halloween-y. And then maybe towards the 8th and the 9th, towards the weekend, suddenly started to creep in autumnal leaves in the window,
really?
The odd pumpkin carving, and then some merchandise, some T-shirts and the obligatory ear hats and candy corn. And by the time I left on the 19th, pretty much every shop had some sort of element of Halloween. I wouldn't go to say the whole park had been transformed, because it was still the park was still dressed for as in July the 4th type,
okay,
with the lots of the flag, etc. But it was creeping in there slowly and surely.
That's exciting. So I know a lot of people don't like when the holidays start early, but with Halloween, that's obviously a holiday that I think we should start that in July, actually.
Well, come on, what is there to celebrate? Once July the 4th is over for the American public, what's the next big thing? It's Halloween.
It is, yeah, that's what I'm saying. July 5th. Let's start.
Well, come on, let's have a week of July the 4th. Come on, let's be generous.
All right, so what's a week after that? The 11th, the 12th? All right, well, 13th. On July 13th, we will now start celebrating Halloween.
And it'll be continued to be celebrated until Thanksgiving.
That's right. I'm glad. Right into the day before Thanksgiving. So I don't have a problem with this at all. I think it's exciting. I mean, so maybe some people that are still in summer mode might not be too into it when they go to the parks and see it. But
yeah, it was really strange, because obviously when Halloween hits in the UK, October, the weather is normally miserable. It's cold. It's getting dark by about 5:30 on an evening. So it doesn't really sit well with 100 degrees temperature in California like it was in August.
Wow. So you were dealing with some 100 degree weather out there, huh?
Yeah, it toppled over 100 on a few days we were there. The humidity wasn't as bad as you get over in Walt Disney World, but it was quite brutal some days.
Yes, the heat, it's a different kind of thing. Over there, it's dry heat. So if you're directly in the sun, you're definitely going to be, you know, feeling really warm. But there really is no humidity in Southern California. In fact, I didn't really know what it was until I moved out of Southern California. And the first summer I spent out of that, I was like, what is this madness consuming me, stealing my breath and my soul? They're like, that's called humidity.
Like, yep.
It's horrible. that's one advantage Disneyland has over Walt Disney World.
That was one of the major factors, because originally I was going to Walt Disney World, and that was one of the major things that made me change to go to the West Coast, was one, the weather, and two, I was invited to attend an event of a community of Disney podcasters that were holding this event, and I thought, ooh, I kind of fancy going to that. So I sort of thought, ooh, could I? And I investigated it and thought, ooh, yes, I could. I'll just cancel Walt Disney World and go to Disneyland instead.
Well, that sounds like a good move.
It was. And the event was really good, because it was over the weekend of the Haunted Mansion's 45th anniversary. So it had like a Haunted Mansion-esque feel.
Well, that sounds like it's up my alley there.
Definitely. It was really good fun. On the actual anniversary, there was a special dinner being held at the Pacific Ballroom Paradise Pier Hotel. And I'm not sure if you've heard of this podcast. It's called The Mouse Lounge, and the host is called Gary Chambers.
I have not.
Ha-ha. Well, he recorded a special interview that took place after dinner in the Pacific Ballroom. Unfortunately, my plans didn't turn out. I was hoping to go. They didn't work out, so I didn't end up going. However, it was a big part of the Friends of the Magic event, and I did have a friend of mine go and attend and manage to get an autograph of one of the guests. Anyway, I'll start at the beginning and tell you what it's all about.
Okay.
Basically, two of the Haunted Mansion's ghost hosts were present for dinner. And after dinner, they recorded a specific interview which will be aired on the Mouse Lounge podcast. So if you want to hear it, you can still hear it. You just have to listen to some different podcasts. And the two ghost hosts in presence were Peter Renaday. I'm not sure if all of you will recognise the name, but you sure will recognise the voice. He is a major voiceover artist, and he has got a list of TV series, video games, is in Disney theme parks. You know, we've got him doing The Huntsman in Snow White's Scary Adventure. He's the voice of the Tomorrowland Transit Authority. He was in Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. He voiced Henry the Bear from Country Bear Jamboree. Other things, you know, he was in Ben 10, Batman, Iron Man, all sorts of unbelievable. Jeez. It was Derek Blunt in Darkwing Duck. This man's voice has been everywhere. So he was in attendance, and the main reason he was there because in 1969 he was on the LP, The Haunted Mansion, which I mentioned on your show prior when we were talking about the actual event of the Haunted Mansion's 45th.
Right, and I played a lot of that record, so that so that was his voice as the ghost host on there.
Yeah, so he was one of the gentlemen in presence, and the other one was another voiceover actor called Corey Burton, and he's probably best known for the voice of Captain Hook. He has done lots of things in Disney. Like, if you look at his list, it's just, oh my heavens, he it's everything. You know, he was Zeus in Hercules, the animated series. He has been Ludwig von Drake in DuckTales.
Wow.
He has done lots of stuff, lots of voices. And he is in the, he's the voice of the Haunted Mansion's Holiday.
Okay. That's cool. So they both were there for their contributions to the Haunted Mansion, of course.
Yes. Unfortunately, I didn't get to go. A friend of mine, Stephen, very kindly snuck one of my Disney Dream Girl pins in front of Corey Burton and got him to sign it. Yay! But alas, I didn't get to go to that one because, you know, you're on holiday, you've got a limited budget, and it was a paid event. And I'm from England, I would have been a bit tight, really.
Well, you know, you do what you can when you're out there.
Yeah, but I do know from people who went, it was an amazing evening, and the two gentlemen involved were just amazing. So I can't wait for the podcast to be released when I can hear it on the Mouse Lounge.
It's not released yet?
It's not released as yet. It is due out imminently. That's all I've spoken, all I've been able to find out.
Okay, well, I'll put a link to the show in the show notes.
Cool.
And see what happens. Yeah, keep an ear out. No pun intended for that.
So that took place on the evening of the 45th. Later that night, the Friends of the Magic event had arranged a meetup outside the Haunted Mansion to have the final ride, if you like, on the Haunted Mansion. Now, there was another group from Doom Buggies, and they were wanting to ride at the same sort of time. So I think collectively we all sort of got to go within the last sort of 5 minutes of the ride being closed down, because it closed at midnight. And I think we got into the queue 30 seconds to midnight.
Oh, wow.
So I'd heard stories, I don't know if you have, about the ride. Supposedly, if you're the last one, it stops and you can get out and you can walk around the graveyard.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, someone told me that, and I was getting really excited, thinking, oh, I can have my picture taken next to the gravestones. But it's a load of rubbish.
Yeah, no, so. I wouldn't believe that for a second. Especially since, you know, it's not completely done from every position you're looking at. It's only from the position from the dune buggies. If you go behind all that stuff, it looks like unfinished things, you know. They would totally ruin the illusion and the magic of being in the graveyard. So that's
completely,
that's the number one reason I wouldn't believe that would happen. Plus I think they want to go home at the end of the night, probably put the ghost to bed.
Definitely. Now we did that, and the following day, the Sunday, we had another meet-up. This time this was in DCA, and we had some very special guests. We had the Medina family to join us. Have you heard about the Medina family?
I have not.
Oh, wow. Well, there's a Disneyland TV channel called KTLA5, and they ran a competition.
Oh, I mean, you mean Anaheim.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Sorry, get confused here.
What you said it was at Disney. Just to be clear to people that don't live in LA, that it's just a local TV station. It's not a Disneyland channel.
It's owned by Disney. Basically, this family entered a competition to stay and spend the night at the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Wow. And basically, they joined us for dinner on the Sunday night and talked about the process they went through to win the competition and then ultimately spend the night in the mansion. And that was like, oh, my heavens.
When did they spend the night? Was it the night before the anniversary?
It was the Friday night they spent there. And it just sounded absolutely wow.
Yeah, do you remember anything they said about the experience?
The words are sort of chalked on my memory because it was quite a complex procedure that they had to go into to win the competition. So the family that won the competition, Adam, his wife, Bobby Jo, well, she was kind of a little bit pregnant. A little bit, as in due to give birth in the next sort of month.
Wow.
So
she still went through with it, huh? Being scared in the middle of the night?
She had to get a letter from a doctor saying that she was fit and well enough to do the whole thing. And my friend Sarah Woluski went to school with Adam. So she's really good friends, and Sarah's the host on Skywalking Through Neverland, and they got an exclusive sort of podcast-type interview on their show, which was out in the middle of August, and it sort of goes through the whole competition stage if anyone wanted to find out more about it. But they literally did spend the whole night in one of the stretching rooms and slept there.
Right, that's all I knew about it, that that's where they were sleeping, in the stretching room, and things kept happening throughout the night.
One of the stretching rooms was used to lift them up and down, and then the other one was set up eventually as a bedroom, and they had a delicious dinner with themed food around the Haunted Mansion, and I gather elements of it was broadcast live on TV, so, yeah, it was really good. They really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. I saw that contest pop up somehow in my news feed, and I actually went, I thought it was just like, oh, just send your name here and you can win. But just filling it out, all the information, they were definitely looking for families. They weren't looking for, you know, some dudes. You know, I don't know. Like, they're like, list your family members. And I'm like, my mom's not going to this.
Yeah.
And then
I wasn't able to go because I'm not a U.S. resident.
I think I had to be a California resident too. So I sent it to my friend who is a California resident and said, hey, we have to do this. And she's like, oh yeah. And then we just, you know, we didn't do it because we knew it wasn't going to happen. But it was like, yeah, we're a family. We're a big, happy family. Let's all stay in the man. I knew they wanted, you know, a regular old American family, you know, to do it. They didn't want like a bunch of adults, you know, in there. So, obviously they wanted children for sure. But that's cool. I didn't know that, about the interview on the Skywalking Through Neverland, so I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's good interview, and it goes through the whole process. So getting to meet them was kind of cool because they sort of relayed the information. So that was sort of like the Haunted Mansion sort of events that went on, excuse me, the first week of my trip. But the second week, there was something else about Haunted Mansion I kind of wanted to sort of share, and that was the merchandise event at the Disneyana store in Disneyland.
Okay, now what is the Disneyana store? Is it in downtown Disney or is it actually in
It's actually in Disneyland Park. As you walk in, it's the first building on the right-hand side as you go through under the train tracks.
Okay.
And it was called the 45th Ghostly Materials. And it literally took over the entire shop. And the Disney Parks blog had been sort of saying, this is going to be available. The store will open at 9 o'clock. There's going to be some limited edition type products. I was in the park. I was kind of curious about what they classed as limited edition. And I was there early. So I went and lined up. And I think I was like the 8th or 9th in line. So I was in the queue fairly early. I think by the time I left, there was about 80 people behind me.
Wow.
And this was going on to lunchtime with the limited edition and signing, because what Disney had arranged was about 10 of the actual artists to be available to sign the work they'd done. So, you know, this obviously makes it even more endearing and must have for a lot of Disney fans.
Sure.
There was some pretty limited edition stuff with some pretty high price tags, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
There was a one-off creation, a Ezra 36-inch bust, and that sold. It didn't even have a price tag on it, so I wouldn't want to know how much it was.
Wow.
There was a full-size collectible garlot. Sorry, there was a full-size collectible gargoyle. You know, in the stretching room, the portrait gallery, and there's the gargoyles with the candles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were made to order at $2,900.
Wow.
Obviously. There was a limited edition run of 300 of a Hatbox Ghost cell and framed that went at $275. What else was limited edition? Oh, in the centre, there were 4 stained glass recreations. And I'm really sorry, James, but I can't for the life of me remember who did them. But they were stunning. And I'll send you pictures of them so you can put them in the show notes. There was one of the bride, Madame Leota, and the 2 gentlemen who were having the duel. Each one went for $2,700. And they sold within an hour.
Wow.
And if I would have had the money, I would have bought the bride because it was absolutely stunning. It really, really was.
I'm speechless. I'm like, all this stuff. I can't wait to see it.
It really, really was amazing. You could have bought a smaller Ezra bust. There was a limited edition bronze effect bust. I'd say about 8 inches or so high. 45 of them. They were $150 and they were numbered, and people were getting them, going over and getting the artist to sign them. They just went, you know. I think virtually the first 46 people in the store bought them. I didn't. But
wow.
Yeah, they went.
I mean, it sounds like you could easily spend $10,000 in this place.
Quite easily. I was really good. I just bought a couple of, you know, prints that were $39. And then there was a really big poster of the event saying Haunted Mansion Disneyland 45th anniversary. And it was a really big poster. I bought that. Unfortunately, I didn't have the funds to buy any of the limited edition ones. But hey-ho.
Well, right. You got something out of there.
I got something. It was quite upsetting to see, as I was wandering around buying what I wanted for me, to see people grabbing things and getting piles of 20 or 30 of the same item, with obviously the exclusive idea of bunging it on eBay.
Hmm.
You know, there's some of these items available now with a markup of plus £100. Sorry, with a markup of plus $100. So it's kind of makes me feel bad that people who had wanted these things and queued up weren't able because someone got a bit greedy.
But yeah, they really need to start putting limitations on this. The eBay culture of Disney merchandise is out of control.
Don't get me wrong, I'm in the UK. And I sometimes see these limited edition things and think, oh, I'll have a look on eBay. But the prices on eBay just get silly. They really, really do. Because I collect Vinylmation. And, you know, they're normally like $12, $14. You know, sometimes it's got so rare as a particular Vinylmation, I've considered paying maybe $50 for one.
Wow.
So it does, I suppose, in a way, it helps people out. But then on the other hand, if you adding on hundreds and hundreds of dollars, it's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess the sad thing is that people are paying those prices too.
Well, you know, it's like anything. If you are passionate about your hobby, you know, it's like me. Yeah. I'm passionate about Disneyland, and I think nothing of spending $4,000 to go and visit it. You know, who's mad?
Right now, yeah, we all have our things that we're willing to spend a lot of money on that other people will be like, you are out of your mind.
Yeah. One thing that I did think was really good was the limited edition prints that the Disney Parks blog announced was going to start for sale on Saturday, the August the 9th. Now, as I've mentioned, the stretching room, that was quite a big focal point for a lot of the things to do with the Haunted Mansion goodies.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the four classic stretching room portraits?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they Disney-fied them.
Oh, yeah?
And there's a really great one of Minnie Mouse on a tightrope with a parasol with a crocodile under. And then Daisy Duck is sat on a gravestone. And then you've got Goofy, Donald and Mickey all sat on top of each other's shoulders in the quicksand.
Oh, okay.
And then the final one, it's Pluto, Donald and Mickey. I'm getting confused. And then the final one is Goofy on the jar of dynamite. Now
that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Goofy and dynamite.
These are actually printed on canvas. They're good quality and they're quite big, you know. I wouldn't say they're full-size replicas, but they are quite a large size canvas print. But you couldn't buy them.
Were you supposed to look at them?
Sorry?
You're supposed to look at them? You can't.
Well, kind of. Four Disneyland eateries sold them. So if you wanted Minnie Mouse, you had to go to Rancho del Zaloco. If you wanted Mickey and Pals, you had to go to the River Bell Terrace. If you wanted Daisy, you had to go to the Plaza Inn. And if you wanted Goofy, you had to go to the French Market restaurant. So that was catch number one.
Okay.
Catch number two was you had to spend $30. When you spent $30, you were given the option of buying one for $5.
Yeah, I guess that's not so bad. You could probably easily spend $30.
Yeah, I would have quite happily paid $35 for the poster because the good quality and the quirky. I'd been there for 2 weeks. I was quite able to go around all four restaurants and acquire the set. So they're really cute. And they're still available, I gather, till October the 31st. There's a limited edition on them of 5,000.
Well, there's something for you Disneyland people to hunt down if you didn't see them already.
To be honest, I don't think Disney did a good job of publicising their availability because so many people didn't know when I was stood at the cash desk and people in front were saying, what posters? And they didn't know about them. And I did notice one or two people loitering by the tills, sort of offering people $5 to buy the poster off them if they bought it for them.
Because I didn't want to spend $30.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of cool that a lot of these artists are actually being endorsed by Disney, because a lot of them would just start off by posting their interpretations. And in the past, you know, people like, or companies like Disney or whatever would say it's like copyright infringement or whatever, but now they're kind of embracing them. So you get these, letting them actually make them almost official by selling them in the park, these different interpretation of, you know, Disney characters and properties. I think that's really cool. What date was this again?
That was the 16th of August. Okay. But there was queues till, you know, at least 11:30 from about 8:15, so...
Wow, and that was a Saturday too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that had been super crowded there.
Yeah. If you want to see some of the artwork, you know, I'm going to send a few pictures over to you to put on show notes, but I do know Inside the Magic have got a really good sort of pieces of video of walking around the Disney Anna shop, which you can see everything in clear detail. If that's any use to anyone. But another thing that everyone could have got, which I think they're still selling them because Disney will have ordered 10 billion of them, is outside the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland is a little cart and it sells popcorn and there's a drink stand as well. And you can get a rather cool drinks cup, souvenir cup, with Mickey and Minnie. Mickey is the Hatbox Ghost type character and Minnie as the devilish cruel bride. And I thought that was kind of cute.
It's on a cup, you said?
And that's on the traditional sized souvenir cup.
Oh wow, that's a cool cup.
So that's cup. I'll send you a picture over of that as well. And then there's a popcorn bucket with the stretching room pictures on as well. So
the stretching
quite a lot of merchandise.
The one with them on, with the characters on it.
Yeah, Disney version. Yeah. So some good friends of mine have picked that up for me because I don't think the popcorn bucket would have fit in my suitcase because I bought too much stuff.
Yeah, I've been following along your adventure on Facebook as you would post stuff. I remember you were packing to leave, and you're like, I bought way too much stuff. How did you get it all back? You had to pay extra? Is that what you said?
I mean, I must be an incredibly good packer. Because I got everything back. I had to do a little bit of adjustment at the airport with the old hand luggage because we were allowed, I think, 14 kilos on hand luggage, and I think I was at something like 24.
Wow.
But the suitcases were at the limit, but I packed very, very craftily. But while you're there and you're buying little bits here and there, you don't realise. And then some of my lovely friends had sent me some candy or some boxes of biscuits, and I hadn't sort of accounted for them in my luggage, and they sort of took up a little bit of weight too. And when I was weighing the scales, I broke the luggage scales because they snapped. So that sort of didn't go down too well. But
oh well, I mean, 2 weeks, that's a lot of time to acquire stuff.
So. Yeah, a lot. And then there's a lot more Haunted Mansion type stuff coming both to Disneyland and Walt Disney World. Have you had a chance to see any of it yet?
I have seen it. I know I've posted some things of it, which originated from the Disney Parks blog. A lot of this stuff looks incredible. I'm mostly excited about the clothing. That's the merchandise that I buy. And some of the designs for the new Haunted Mansion shirts look incredible.
Yeah.
Really, really, really cool.
They've just started to come through into the park when I was there. So the maid and the butler t-shirt was available.
Very nice.
And I was tempted, but I thought, green is not really my colour, so I didn't. The one that's getting me really excited, and I don't think I've got a chance of getting, is the Dooney and Burke limited edition Haunted Mansion bag.
I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, it looks so good. It's got a little tag on it saying Haunted Mansion. It's got the wallpaper print and a price tag of $330. As I said, I won't be getting that. Not only is it limited edition, so it'll be out of the shops before I can even blink. Mm-hmm. It'll go online, it'll disappear and go on eBay. It's such a shame because it is a beautiful bag. That's one thing I'd like. Have you seen, what did you think to the Master Gracie coat of arms effect they're using on a lot of the things?
I don't think I noticed that. Is that a recurring thing there? Let me look it up right now.
It's a new one, is this? This was something that D23 released a couple of weeks ago.
I don't think I saw this. Wow. I love that that's the thing that seems to be happening. There's like, I love they're just cranking out all this merchandise. And it's like the 45th just happened, so there's not another milestone for 5 years. There's really not a specific reason for them to be doing this, but so that's what's so exciting.
Yeah.
That they're doing all this stuff. On top
there is, because they've realized that people want to buy it and there's ka-ching in it for them.
Sure, but I feel like, I mean, that's obviously number one reason they're doing it, but they could have just put out a lot of typical stuff. I feel like we're getting a lot of unique items here, though.
Yeah. There's some really cool stuff, and there's some really naff stuff. There's a maid's apron, which I think is a little bit naff.
Okay, I haven't seen that.
There's a mug with just basically the wallpaper print, which I don't think, you know, it's a standard shaped mug. I think they could have done a little bit of something zhuzhing it up a bit. As I mentioned, the Master Gracie coat of arms, that's going to appear on the flatware, because the idea is it's going to be like the story, because Disney seem to be, even with Disney Springs, they're wanting to bring in a story to everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be like everything in the store for Haunted Mansion is from an estate sale from the Haunted Mansion.
That's incredible. I was going to bring that up too. There's a store opening up in Walt Disney World, Magic Kingdom, which... It was originally supposed to open up soon, and then they just pushed it back to January. And I feel like I'm definitely going to miss it, because I plan to be there in Walt Disney World in September and October. And I was like, I'm going to catch it, because it was supposed to open in October. That's all I said. And I'm like, hopefully October 1st. You know, but nope.
Do you know what it could be? It could be that the shop's actually ready, but the merchandise hasn't been shipped over in the shipping container yet from wherever they're getting it shipped from.
That's true.
You know, because they have had that Yankee Traders shop down for quite a while now. So, I don't know. But I love it. I love the dinner service. I would love to have the dinner service. There's a very tacky sort of figurine of the bride with a headless ghost, which I think is a bit ridiculous. There's some nice little purple shoes with like a lacy effect, which I think is kind of cute, and some jewellery. You know, I'm a girl. I like the sparkly, jingly stuff.
But it's also and also creepy, because it's Haunted Mansion jewellery.
It is. Yeah, there's lots of bats and gargoyles. And as I said, the Master Gracie family coat of arms type thing appears on quite a lot of the things, which looks really good. But I'd love one of the bat stanchions, you know, that you have in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to have lined up down the side of my house on the walkway to the front door. But they're not selling them. And I suppose if they did, they'd be like $150 each. So.
Yeah, I feel like that, and as well as the gargoyle, as is a tongue twister to say, that I feel like if you could probably get those made at a lot less cost than they were selling them, if you really wanted them.
Yeah, can you imagine going to your local craft store and buying all the bits to make your own made gargoyle? It'd be so cool, though.
Yeah, I couldn't do it, but I'm sure, I don't know how to mix it. But I was just saying, what was the other, how much was that? We said it was $300
for the gargoyles? The gargoyle made to order, that was $3,000. Oh,
$3,000, excuse me. I mean, I know there's zero there. Yeah, I feel like I'd come in a little lower on that if I commissioned someone to do it locally.
Yeah, let's just get a big block of polystyrene and just shape it and put a bit of spray paint on it. Be right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, it's same effect, but, you know, I don't know, it's not the same as collecting official Disney merchandise. So.
No, but it'd be ace on Halloween.
True.
I suppose with a lot of this merchandise, because the two parks in the USA are very different from the exterior, they focused more on the interior, because that is fairly similar, isn't it? Obviously, the two rides are slightly different, with the Walt Disney one starting in the Dune Buggies a lot earlier, mm-hmm. and you do the walk through the portrait room. in Disneyland. I think that's good. I'm really excited to see all this merchandise in person.
Yeah, no, this is exciting stuff here. A lot of Haunted Mansion fun on our way. You know, just getting warmed up here.
I'm gonna have to start saving up again, James. I'm gonna have no money.
Yep, just direct deposit right to Disney.
And I gather, while we're still on the Haunted Mansion topic, they've closed Disneyland's Haunted Mansion this week to right. start the makeover for Haunted Mansion's Holiday Christmas thingy.
Yep, which I have never experienced, have you?
I haven't, but I am tentatively considering creeping my way to Disneyland this Christmas because I want to see it.
Wow, really?
Well, my female logic says to me, I spent $700 on an annual pass this year, so to get my money's worth,
it
makes sense to spend another $2,000 to get there for Christmas.
Yeah, no, it makes sense to me.
That's pretty good Disney female logic.
No, that's just Disney logic.
But I don't know how it's going to work out because, you know, traditionally Christmas in the UK, we could have snow. That means I could be all hyped up to go and the plane wouldn't take off. And I've had that happen to me before. One Christmas I was going to New York, got to the airport and New York was snowed in, so we couldn't get there. So, bad memories.
Yeah, that's no fun. But let's think positive, and that's exciting because I hope to be out in Southern California during December because I want to catch this, you know, Haunted Mansion holiday.
Oh, fantastic! You go for Christmas, and then I'll make sure I'm there.
All right,
and then I'll fight you for all this limited edition merchandise.
I will say you won't have to fight me too hard because I don't spend my money on things like that because that's an excessive amount of money. I like it, and I would love these things as gifts. I will say that the shirts, I'm definitely into the shirts. I'm really intrigued by this silverware, actually. I'm really into that. I feel like I'd love to replace all my silverware with official Haunted Mansion, Gracie silverware. I think that would be cool, and some dishes and cups. But, yeah, I'm not going to be spending $3,000 on a gargoyle.
No. Well, plus, how on earth would I get it home? I'm only allowed 50 pounds luggage.
You'd probably just spend $5,000 to get it home, you know, all the way from the UK.
Yeah, and then this import tax, because whatever we import into the country, we have to pay for the tax on it as well. So,
really? Even stuff you bring with you?
You're only supposed to bring back a certain percentage of goods back into the UK before you have to start paying import duty. Luckily, a lot of the things I bring back are gifts, so I don't have to be bothered with the Inland Revenue Service.
Wow, and they get you everywhere they can, huh?
Yeah, I once had a friend send me some cocoa that she bought for me in one of the parks. So, no, she paid, I think it was $16 for the Disney cocoa. Then she paid $50 for Disney to ship it.
$50, okay. Wow.
$50 to ship it. Then UPS got the parcel, delivered it to me. I had to pay £35, which is approximately another $50, on import tax and handling fees. So by the time we'd done, this tin of $13, $15 cocoa had ended up costing me $135.
Wow, I've cherished every morsel of powder.
I'm sorry, at the moment it's in a display case. I didn't use it. It's so expensive.
I know.
I just open the lid of the jar every now and again, have a whiff, and put it back on again. It's like granddad's ashes. It's just there to be looked at now.
That's great. I'm glad that you worked out a way for the cocoa story to be creepy as well. I appreciate that. appreciate your dedication to the theme of the show.
It's okay. I had to fit granddad in somehow. Not that he's cremated yet or anything, so that makes it even more creepy.
Right.
Oh dear.
Oh man, I love how creepy we can get on the show sometimes. We really But then, you know, the name Creepy is in the title, so we have to live up to it every episode, unless people will be definitely let down. So,
you know, there's stories of people leaving ashes as they go around the haunted mansion, so...
True.
I personally wouldn't be taking my cocoa to leave in the haunted mansion. It's just too darn expensive. Yeah, I
know. You know, I mean, a person's remains, I mean, that's one thing, but $135 cocoa...
And the funny thing is, I've been to Disneyland twice this year and I've not been able to personally buy it because Disney have now taken the decision to only sell it when it's cold, i.e. November, December, January, which is normally traditionally when I can't go. But it's traditionally cold in England the whole time, so really they should let me have it the whole time, but they don't.
Right. Well, again, another reason to come back in December.
True.
You know, I'm going to get you to make this. I'm going to be peer pressure, make the choice to make that trip again because that's what I do. I'm an enabler. I'm a Disney enabler.
Oh, that's fine. I don't mind you enabling me to go back to Disneyland whatsoever.
All right. You'll be warned. Be warned. So, any other... creepiness you came across during your 2 weeks at the happiest place on earth?
Creepiness, not some. Well, it was the first time my son Karen had really opened his eyes to a lot of the finer details. He'd been on the Haunted Mansion before, but he hadn't actually looked at the details before. Last time he went, he was only 10.
Okay.
So this time we were in the stretching room and I told him to look up when the lights went off. That was a bad move.
Really?
Because you know normally you get a lot of fake screaming and shouting when they see the hanging body.
Yeah, it's part of the recording, yeah.
Yeah. Not this time. It wasn't fake. He literally jumped up 8 foot in the air, landed in my arms and screamed the room down.
I'm picturing Scooby-Doo and Shaggy.
Yes! Exactly. Me being Scooby-Doo. Well, Kieran being Scooby-Doo and right. Me being Shaggy.
Right, yep.
Whichever way around you want to work it. But yeah, he was so petrified. And it just seemed to be a whole theme of the holiday that Kieran would get frightened over the most silly thing. Well, I suppose a dead body hanging in the loft isn't silly. We also went on the Tower of Terror for his first time because he hadn't been on it before. And he did get really, really scared on that, on the first drop. It took about 2.5 hours for the bruise to disappear on my arm from where he dug in his nails.
Oh, my.
So that was, you know, he got to go on it a few times. But, yeah. But really, as to creepy things, I saw quite a lot of interesting outfits. I don't know whether they would class as creepy. One lady dressed herself up in a Winona Ryder Beetlejuice-esque outfit. She looked stunning.
It's amazing. What was the occasion for that?
I think that was just a regular day in Disneyland, really.
I love Disneyland.
Yeah. Beautiful black parasol with the black veil running down the side. So she was carrying that. She was dressed all in black with the 3/4 black trousers. And she had the black hair cropped to the right length and the makeup. She looks stunning.
That's awesome.
What I really, really love about Disneyland more so than Walt Disney World, because I think people at Disneyland do tend to dress for the park. There was a lot more of the Disney bounding effects going on,
which I think is cool. I hear people talk negatively about that, and in case people don't know, it's incorporating the look of a certain character into your own style. So it's not so much cosplaying, but it's just you know, you see it and you know right away, like, oh, that's reminiscent of Cruella de Vil or something like that.
Well, it's like what Simon, the artist involved with our podcast art, he said to me, what's your favourite film? Disney wise, and I said, well, it's Snow White. So he did me as a Snow White version of me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of like with a twist. So right. It's me rather than a very prissy 14-year-old. Although he did do an adult content version, which was a little bit low cut and a little bit too busty, and I had to tell him to turn it down a bit.
It was a little risque.
It was more on the sort of pin-up side of things that you do, James, to be honest.
I don't do them. I just look at them. I know I post some of those pictures sometimes. Some creepy Disney pin-up pics.
Oh, they're amazing. But yeah, lots of really good examples of Disney bounding. And to be honest, I wish I'd have taken more pictures of things like that. Like I shared with you the picture of the Haunted Mansion tattoo.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was really good. That was lovely to see. And a lot more artwork on body art in Disneyland, I felt as well.
Yeah, it's that local atmosphere. You know, people in Walt Disney World, there's not a lot of locals. You know, it's people spending the vacation of their lifetime, you know, and they're just taking it in. They're not becoming part of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, people just morph into being Disneyland completely and utterly, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Wish I could.
No, we can. We could follow our dreams, and you never know. I mean, I listened to your show, and you said this, you know, dreams do come true, right?
Well, they do. I am just waiting for my blue fairy to turn up at the door and whisk me off. Anyone who wants to sponsor me, feel free. I'm starting a Kickstarter.
I was about to say, let's get some Kickstarters going. That's all the rage. Alrighty. Well, before you depart the creepy kingdom, we need to kind of officially announce something. We had brought it up a little while back on your first appearance, I guess April, March, somewhere around there. But the time has come. It's time to officially announce it. I worked at, you know, we had a little meeting. And since I was inspired by you, I wanted to work this out with you so that we can, you know, carry on the tradition. So what you did last year was, leading up to Christmas, you had Minxmas.
I did indeed.
And that was, was it 12? 12 days of Minxmas?
I think it was something like 12 or 13 days leading up to Christmas, yeah.
So, well, why don't you describe that instead of me trying to, what you did?
Basically, I contacted a lot of podcasting buddies and asked them to create a 5 to 10 minute show of their own about Christmas. And then on the lead up to Christmas, I released one of these shows every day. And then on Christmas Day, I did a monster massive show of hours.
Yeah, and I loved it. I thought it was great. I loved all the content. There's a podcast I never heard of coming on there, and it was also launching Disney Dream Girls, because your original podcast was the Mini Minxes,
yeah.
And so it was a great way to build up to your, you know, the debut of your new show, and it was awesome. So I'm sitting here thinking, this is the first year of Creepy Kingdom. Halloween's coming up. We got to go pretty big. So inspired by what you guys did, I want to do a show every day in October for Halloween. And
fabulous.
This is going to get crazy, so we're going to get wild here. But we were having a hard time coming up with a name, but Michelle and I, we worked it out. And this is what it's going to be called. It is going to be called 31 Creepy Days of Halloween.
That is indeed.
And the hashtag, for all you Twitter folk, I guess hashtags are another thing, but it's mostly on Twitter, people use them. Hashtag will be Creepy Days.
Yay!
So it's official. We have an official title and an official hashtag. You know it's official when the hashtag has been released.
And that means James can't change his mind now.
No, I'm in too deep.
You're in too deep. You've got a hashtag. You can't change your mind. A hashtag, a title, and at least one show that's going to take part in it for you.
Wow. So, yeah, we're going to have other podcasts to come on. I got some things up my sleeve. There's a lot of Halloween-themed things that I've could have covered so far throughout this year that I'm like, you know, this has to be specific to Halloween. There's plenty of other creepy Disney stuff to cover that's out of Halloween, because it's kind of a given that when it's Halloween themed and it's Disney that it's creepy. But, you know, I like to dig a little deeper than that, you know, throughout the year and don't do the obvious. But with this, I've been saving some good stuff. We're going to have some other people come on. It's going to be awesome. And so it's, I mean, every day you can just, you know, keep on subscribing, and then there's something new there for you. Counting down to Halloween. Pretty excited. So thank you for the inspiration, Michelle, and thank you for helping me come up with the name.
My pleasure. I'm really, really excited for Halloween now.
Yeah, before I was like, Halloween. But now, now that the 31 creepy days of Halloween are coming, this is going to be the best Halloween of all time, I think. Pretty sure.
All right,
I've held you captive long enough in the dungeon of the kingdom.
I know. I've got some cocoa to go sniff. That sounds so wrong.
Think of that as you will. Interpret that any way you want. But that's what Michelle has to do. But before you go do that, or whatever it is you're going to do, yeah, I realize we didn't even talk about your other podcast on the show. We talked about it off the show. The Earvengers. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, thank you. It's a really cool show, actually. We release it every week on a Monday. And we got together with three other shows. And it was the brainchild of Sam and Ashley from WDW Happy Place. And we'd made these links with these other shows when we were part of a Touring Clans network. And we just came together to do this project. So there's WDW Happy Place, there's the Disc Geek podcast, which talk about Disneyland, and then there's the Mighty Men of Mouse podcast, and then obviously my show of Disney Dream Girls. We get together, we assemble once a week, and we bring about 3-4 topics to the table each, one each, and we just go around everybody and give our opinion on the said topic. And sometimes it gets a bit heated. Sometimes it gets in agreement. We have a lot of laughs. It's such a fun show to do. And it's just basically, you know, a group of people who are so passionate about Disney but have completely different opinions on things sometimes. So it can be found in iTunes or Stitcher Radio under Earvengers. And it's good fun, so give it a listen.
Excellent. Now, I love the show. You've been on almost all of the episodes representing Disney Dream Girls, but while you were in Disneyland, Jane came on and she did a fantastic job. I just want to give a shout out to your Disney Dream Girls co-host, Jane, for holding it down, representing DDG on the Earvengers. I enjoyed it. So.
Oh, she did a great job.
I think I tweeted that at her. I don't know if I did. But either way, I'm saying it right now, so...
Yay! Yeah, it's good fun, and because of time differences as well, there's an 8-hour time difference between me, California, and then we've got the East Coast as well. So logistically, it's a nightmare to do, but we make it happen because we enjoy it. And then obviously, there's my show, and if you want to hear more about my trip in Disneyland and listen to an interview I did with Ricky Briganti about Halloween, what he's looking forward to, and all sorts of other stuff, and hopefully you'll hear James in a couple of weeks talking about Halloween. You can find me under the Disney Dream Girls in all those good places, and our Twitter handle is at DisDreamGirls, so check us out if you don't already, and you know, drop us an email to say you've heard me and you think I talk twaddle, or you enjoy what I say? And I don't think you Americans will understand twaddle, but never mind.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what you were saying, but I just go along with it. Actually, funny story before you get out of here. Last time you were on, you were talking about Stitch's Great Escape.
Yeah.
Probably universally one of the worst attractions. I think everyone agrees. No one likes that, but... you were talking about what you didn't like about it, and you used the term bottom burp, And I remember when we were doing the interview, I'm like, what is that? And then even afterwards, I'm listening to it, I'm like, I still don't know what she's talking about. And then like you know, like the middle of the night, a few days later, laying in bed, you know, about to fall asleep, and I was like, bottom burp, she's talking about farting. I was like, I had to like wake up my significant other at the time, and I was like, bottom burps are farting. She's like, thanks for waking me up to tell me, but I had to tell her. But and we're not together anymore, so maybe that was what pushed her over the edge. But anyways,
I caused your relationship to break down over my bottom burps.
No, I thought that was funny. Like that, I didn't understand. I never heard that used before. It just went right over my head when it's so obvious what you were saying.
Like, it's okay. You've now resolved that nightmare.
Yes, we've worked through it. So, if there's anything you said during this interview I didn't understand, I'm sure I'll wake up middle of the night and I will email you right away to let you know that I know what you said.
You know, that's fine because we're 5 hours ahead of you, so I'll be awake, so that's good.
You're right. Very true. I've emailed you in the middle of the night sometimes and you're like, it's morning, I'm drinking tea and the birds are chirping. And I'm like, I'm intoxicated and I just got home, you know. But as long as we're all having fun. Anyways, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your Haunted Mansion stories with us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me back on the show.
Alrighty, thank you again to Michelle from the Disney Dream Girls for coming on the show again. How many times gotta say again? And on a personal note, I also want to thank Michelle for just being a huge supporter of this show. She is one of the most generous people that I've met in the whole Disney podcaster world since I started doing this show. I mean, pretty much everyone I've met has been pretty awesome. I haven't met any crappy people. Usually try to steer clear of crappy people. Anyways, Michelle has always spoke highly of our show, always promoted us to other people, you know, connected me with other people to make things happen with really nothing in it for her. So she just is very generous and a good friend. And thanks, Michelle, for all the support. So there's my... I probably should have said it while I was talking to you, but I still got it on the show. So check out her podcast, her main podcast, the Disney Dream Girls, which you can find at disneydreamgirlspodcast.blogspot.com, and the Ear Avengers, which you can find at earavengers.com. And of course, you can find both shows in iTunes and on Stitcher. Speaking of iTunes and Stitcher, you can also find my other podcast, The Even James Has a Podcast. And you can also find the show by going to the official website of the official podcast of mine. That is The Even James Has a Podcast.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pics, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google Plus, Tumblr, and Pinterest. All you got to do is go to our website, creepykingdom.com. And we are available in the iTunes Store and on Stitcher, just like Disney Dream Girls, Ear Avengers, and the Even James of Podcast. Creepy Kingdom is right there. And while you're there doing what you do, you can leave us a review. Wow, that rhymed. And not only can you leave a review in the iTunes Store, you can also leave reviews on Stitcher, which is something I just realized. And when I realized this, I found a review for the show that I'm going to read right now from Rebecca K. fun show with some great trivia. I normally don't think of most of the Walt Disney Company's work as being all that unnerving, but Creepy Kingdom is here to prove me wrong and point out all the moments in movies, rides, and elsewhere that could traumatize me and my children, and I love it. That is beautiful, Rebecca K. My lord, that right there is why I do this show. I mean, there's several reasons, but what an amazing description of this show. That just really touched my heart. Thank you for leaving that review. You can touch my heart like leaving a review in the iTunes store or on Stitcher if that's where you listen. Or you could crush my heart by leaving a negative review. But why would you want to do that? Why would you want to crush my black heart? Anyways, I think it's time to get out of here. So, until next time,
keep it creepy. I have a girl now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.